Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Ooh, we got some rain here in the Carolinas, but it was beautiful up until, you know, about an hour ago. Got rain. But we're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk. So Magical Engineer Frank and I are ready to roll. And thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio. We got a great show. We're going to be talking about the doctoring of healthcare in literal senses. We'll get to that in a minute. Also, we're going to be talking about some legends, maybe how to make your tinctures alcohol-free if that's what you want to do. We got lots of things out here to talk about just to empower you, and that's what we're going to do. But we have a quack report, and we'll get to that in just a minute. We want to say a big salute and semper fi to all our righteous men and women in uniform, and I'm lifting all of America up in prayer. And, of course, today started the National Prayer Day. kicked off by the wonderful people in Australia. They're praying for America and lifting us up in prayer and fasting. So I hope you got an opportunity to say some prayers today for this great nation, to be one nation under God once again, and, of course, bring back the blessings of the Lord instead of the chaos, right? I'm all ready for some blessings, aren't you? Mm-hmm. So we got to mind the time and seek the Lord's face, hit the knees, because we ask. And we don't ask, we don't get. And, of course, you know, the prayers of the faithful avail much. So let's get to getting on the prayer there. And without further ado, let's do the crack report. Okay, according to some new research, it says eating sugar may fuel some cravings, but it also quiets stress, according to this. If you eat some sugar, it can kind of tone down the stress signals in your brain. Most people, you know, go for that comfort food anyway when they're stressed out. But they say sweets can be kind of habit-forming, and it may be hard to break, but it also, this study suggests, it may help you cope better. So in a two-week experiment, they had some women drank beverages that were sweetened with natural sugar and some with aspartame and some with none. No sweetener. And the researchers did an MRI of their brains to see how the brain was being affected. And, of course, the brain showed the most action and impulses when the person had the sugar in their beverage. So the results suggest sugar can have some sort of interruption of the normal response to stress. It's in the hippocampus region of the brain. Apparently, it limits the production of stress hormones, cortisol, according to the lead author, Kevin Ligerio. He's a nutritional researcher at University of California. So anyway, you know, they're thinking that although sugar may be habit-forming, yeah, don't become a sugarholic just to cope with stress. There's other things you can do, like valerian root. All right, let's move along here. Next up is, they said birth control pills and BPA may be causing fish to become infertile. They said some industrial chemicals can cause the infertility of fish down to the fourth generation. So the plastic chemicals, the bisphenol A or BPA as they call it, could be a key ingredient along with human birth control pills that get into the water supply. This was a study conducted researchers at the U.S. Geological Survey, and their results were published in the Journal of Scientific Reports. They say certain pollutants can induce changes that are passed on to the offspring and can cause development disorders in about 30% and also decrease the infertility compared to fish that were not exposed. There you go. And last but not least in the Quack Report, this is an interesting story. I was just fascinated. We're going to the UK. This is where this happened. I'll mark that UK because I'll forget later. Basically, there's a man that has a unique condition, let's put it that way, in his brain. Words, when he hears words or sounds, he can taste them. So his brain converts sound into a taste. Isn't that odd? So, like he said, tomato ketchup, salty ham, elastic bands, and a Bakewell tarts are just four of the many flavors that James Wanterton tastes during talking with people. So he was interviewed, and he says sometimes he tastes the Cadbury's fruit and nut chocolate bar when he talks to people. When he talks to a girl called Kate, he says people have different tastes too. Just being in their presence, person has a different taste. So this girl Kate tastes like a creamy Cadbury fruit and nut chocolate bar. Anyway, he has this rare condition that has been finally diagnosed by modern medicine. He has a condition called synesthesia, which is it means that you can taste, your taste and hearing senses don't operate independently in your brain. Isn't that interesting? So every day, every word, every sound has a distinctive flavor for a person with which has synesthesia. So anyway, so words and sounds go blink, 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 apparently, in his mouth, just like hot rocks do, according to him. He says some tastes are very quick, but others can last for hours. And it's very distracting. He had this since childhood, and it would really be a problem in school because he could hear kids during standardized tests. He could hear kids with their erasers, with their pencils, and all those sounds had a taste, and it distracted him from his exams. So apparently he has inherited this condition from his mother's side of the family, it's a condition that affects 4% of the population. I had no idea. So usually takes the form when you're small, he says, his mom. He prefers the taste of his mom. His mom takes, like, ice cream. And his dad has a more of a bitter taste, so he hangs out with his mom more. So when he was about 10 years old, he got diagnosed. And then the doctors told them that, it was part of growing up. But later on, when they did an MRI of his brain, when he was closer to 20, they found out what it really was. So he says he can't enjoy ordinary activities. Think about this for a minute. He can't go to the movies or watch TV because there's too many noises. Can you imagine? You probably couldn't even follow the movie. Your mouth would just be exploding with taste. Good, bad, and ugly, and good, bad, and ugly, right? So he says going for a meal is also difficult because he says he disassociates the taste of food, and he rarely gets hungry. He says food has no appeal to him. Isn't that just crazy? But a word can actually, make him feel like he's munching on a cheeseburger. I just find this interesting. He says that he has trouble with personal relations because he's had to quit some jobs because colleagues would have certain names and sounds to their voice that would just give him a distaste in his mouth, and he couldn't function. He couldn't work with them. Less tolerant of that. Despite all these disadvantages, he says that sounds that he usually think... like, he says, the name Jackie, he says, anybody with the name of Jackie always tastes like licorice to him. And anybody with the last name of Blackpool, he says it tastes like fruit pastry. Vodka, he says, tastes like granules of dirt. The word vodka in his mouth. He says, though, but he wouldn't have it any other way. If he didn't have this odd sensation of taste and sound, he would lose who he really was. But I just thought that I've never heard of such a case, and I learned something today, and maybe you did too. I'm kind of liking the way I am right now. But he has a connection in his brain, the MRI. He had both hemispheres of his brain connected. There was an extra piece of mass connection connecting his brain, which was firing up under the MRI, so that his brain is unusually wired. Let's put it that way. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, yeah. That would be distracting, wouldn't it? If every word you heard or sound you heard, and there was a different taste sensation in your mouth. It's not of all of it pleasant. How would you get anything done? I don't know if I could focus. I get distracted if I smell, food cooking. All right. We're going to talk about the doctoring of healthcare. Well, let's take the word doctor. The word doctor can mean several things. It could refer to a medical physician, or it could mean to alter or to tamper with. So we have a medical monopoly that tends to affect every living, breathing thing on this planet. And there is something seriously wrong when medical care is mandated. So it means that everything is going to be doctored, and maybe not in a good way. So I used to think the medical profession was superior and beneficial, but, you know, I've come to learn that a majority of it is cloaked in deception, and people need to be cautious. So common sense would dictate that if the healthcare system worked as it is advertised, then, you know, we wouldn't have so many long-term and chronically sick people. So if you walked, let's say, into a car repair shop and you paid to have your car fixed, and then it broke down as you left the parking lot, well, you'd have some real issues with the mechanic, wouldn't you? In medicine, it doesn't work that way. You pay for toxic treatments, and the result is anything but wellness. So we're going to broaden our scope here, and we're going to see how the American healthcare system operates. Now, before you go shooting the messenger here, I used to work in healthcare. I used to work in intensive care. I worked with anesthesiologists. I worked with neurosurgeons and neurologists. So I've been around the block, and I've seen some things I probably wished I could forget. But, well, anyway, FYI. Let's move on. We're going to talk about the profit goals, because anything that significantly threatens the profit goals of those in control of your healthcare will be attacked. So anything that threatens that, look out. Anyone with any sense would look at 125,000 or more people that die from taking their prescription meds as instructed. Well, you would conclude that some lies have been told. Well, if lies are told, then it's not a contradiction. It's really a cover-up. Let me read you this quote from an anonymous health advocate who says, "The biggest contradiction in our culture today is calling medicine health care. We spend $2.7 trillion per year, and we're incredibly sick as a culture." Truly the truth right there. I agree with that. Well, I want to talk about a little bit of a history of abuse, because you may or may not know about this. The American Medical Association has held a long history of abuse towards any healing art that threatens the medical monopoly. So their objections will always claim to be to protect the public from, you know, scrupulous individuals promoting worthless therapies. So let's take a look at some occupations that the AMA has viciously attacked in the past, and they are chiropractors, psychologists, dentists, optometrists, podiatrists, osteopaths, naturopaths, homeopaths, reflexologists, massage therapists, and herbalists. So there are many ways to better our health, but if it challenges standardized care, also known as the AMA drugs and surgery, then organized medicine objects. So if you notice that when natural therapies come under the umbrella of the AMA, that they eventually lose their identity, or they become more like the medical physicians, or they're just abolished, and an example would have been the osteopaths, you can't distinguish them now from an MD. So the profession which fights to be independent and different is going to hold on to its profession. For instance, in the 50s, the AMA attacked the field of chiropractic care. There was a huge media campaign implemented by the AMA to smear chiropractic treatments as unscientific, an unscientific cult. And they called chiropractors greedy, opportunistic, rabid dogs and killers. Goodness. So this attack went on for more than 20 years. So in the 70s, the AMA pushed to replace any credible attributes of chiropractic with a reputation of quackery. You want to know how they did that? Well, the AMA even had this department called the Committee on Quackery. It was called the COQ. I'm serious. And here's a memo from the Committee on Quackery from their secretary to the AM Board of Trustees. It was dated 1967. It says this: "Since the AMA Board of Trustees' decision at its meeting on November 3, 1963 is to establish a committee on quackery, your committee has considered its prime mission to be first and the containment of chiropractic and ultimately the elimination of chiropractic." So they didn't mince words. They're out to get rid of chiropractic care, period. End of story. No exceptions. Well, how'd they do that? How well did they do? Well, they tried the indoctrination thing. The AMA, pretty shameless when it comes to their in-house correspondence. The Committee on Quackery submitted their annual report to the AMA Board of Trustees in 1967 stating, quote, "The involvement and the indoctrination of the state medical society leaders is vital to the success of our chiropractic program." They meant to, you know, get rid of it. So they go on to say, "With aggressive AMA activity, chiropractic will be contained at the national level, and steps to eliminate the licensure of chiropractic at the state level," end of quote. So they even outlined their aggressive plan, and it included a few steps. There's seven of them here. To prohibit chiropractic coverage under Medicare law, to prohibit the recognition and listing of accredited chiropractic schools by the U.S. Office of Education, to instigate and create a divide between the two national chiropractic associations, to influence state medical societies to impose actions against the practice of chiropractic care through their state legislatures, propaganda media campaigns within the professional healthcare trade and in the public domain, recruiting teachers and guidance counselors and other public educators to seek to eliminate any inclusion of chiropractic in the U.S. Department of Labor and the U.S. Department of Health. And lastly, instructing medical schools to caution its students about the hazards to individuals from the unscientific cult of chiropractic care. So the AMA worked hard, privately, publicly, and politically, to ensure that allopathic medicine was the only healthcare monopoly. So you may wonder how chiropractic care survived such an assault. Well, it survived because it offered benefit. The people wanted it, and they would pay for it out of pocket to get it. That's what happens when something works for you. And then, of course, you know, they had this little problem where they had to tell it to the judge, poor AMA. In 1975, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that learned professions are not exempt from antitrust lawsuits. And in 1976, the court ruled that the FTC can enforce antitrust laws against medical societies. So in 1982, a group of chiropractors filed an antitrust lawsuit against the AMA and its healthcare agencies, and it was known as the Wilkes case. So the pressure from the legal area forced the AMA to modify their medical code of ethics to allow medical doctors to associate with chiropractors and to accept patients referred to them by chiropractors. And even Mike Wallace of 60 Minutes was doing this documentary at this time, but he couldn't get a single medical doctor that would talk to him about the chiropractic topic. Oh no, it's hot potato. So in the appeal of 1987, the judge found that the AMA and others were guilty of illegal conspiracy and ordered an injunction against them. So the AMA had to print the court's findings in the medical journals, especially the Journal of the American Medical Association. And, of course, the AMA appealed it, but it was upheld by the Supreme Court in 1990. I don't know about you, but all that behavior right there, unprofessional, it kind of smacks of organized crime. Right? Isn't that what you call an illegal conspiracy? Well, we need to kind of tally up all the patients that have died because of AMA treatments, and we can't exclude the treatments that seem to save lives, but in the end are sacrificing lives, such as the instance of drug-resistant bacteria. So when we see that the AMA has done what they have done to the natural healing professions over just the 115 years, we see this complex of organized crime. So what other profession can obtain a license to kill and not be held accountable? What industry can produce a treatment marketed to protect and save lives when there's no evidence of that, and worse, it harms patients, and there's no legal remedy. Only an organization that knows it's doing wrong goes to great corruptible lengths to protect itself. So organized crime is crafty. And it's not going to go quietly into the night. So they just find more subtle ways of dealing with the competition. Mm-hmm. They like to smell like a rose, right? Because that's one thing deceitful organizations want to avoid, is the blame for something they did. So the modus operandi of the AMA is basically to work through the legal channels inside and outside the United States to block competition. So according to Naturopath Digest, in 2006, the AMA briefly posted on their site their intentions towards naturopaths, and they stated this, that our American Medical Association work through its board of trustees to outline a policy opposing the licensure of naturopaths to practice medicine and report its policy to the House of Delegates no later than 2006 interim meeting. So this is going to be implemented according to an estimated staff cost of a little over $10,000. So the AMA tried the same thing with the chiropractors, but this time they appear to be working with Washington lobbyists to influence Congress. So the same tactic is being used with the CDC and the WHO and all forms, you know, against all forms of natural healing. So they don't want patients to have choices. So the AMA has successfully enlisted the help of what is called the Licensed Allied Health Professionals, and the goal is to make it illegal to use midwives to give birth at home, or to use natural therapies to self-medicate, or any form of healing that takes patient dollars away from them. And of course, it is all under the disguise they are just trying to, quote, protect the public from non-scientific treatments, end of quote. It kind of sounds like the old illegal conspiracy to me, with some politicians added. So why is there such a battle over how people get better? Well, by controlling your healthcare choices, they control you. So the health insurance industry is really guilty of the same kind of crime by allowing and backing the Affordable Care Act. So sneaking in the side and back door is really how the American Medical Association is operating. If they can't get Congress to regulate your supplements like drugs, then they'll go through the WHO or the United Nations to develop and launch this food harmonization code called the Codex and regulate your supplements that way. I want you to check out this quote by the AMA. This is interesting. It says this. The AMA now understands that government action is protected under the Constitution, as is action in petitioning the government. It, the AMA, can lawfully petition local, state, and federal legislatures and attempt to influence any legislation without fear of committing actionable restraint of trade or illegal boycott. End of quote. So they're in your face saying, you know, we're going to still attack our competition, but we found a loophole. We're going to use the power of the state to whack you. So what do you call making an illegal action legal? Well, God answered that. He said, the throne of iniquity frames mischief by law. That's in Psalms 94. Check it out, verse 20. Also, it's basically profit in disguise, folks. Because of the greed and the corruption we have in our healthcare system, it's all about profit, but it projects an image that they are deeply concerned with the health of humanity. Well, you know, narcissists do that. You know, they say what they do is for your own good, but in reality, it's for their self-interests, the self-interest of the narcissist. So the next time you visit your urgent care center and you read their policy posters that they're all about quality patient care and safety and educating the patient, just remember that when they give you the bill for $115,000 to treat a snake bite. Yeah. Modern medicine, to me, that I have the blinders off, is really about death in a lot of ways. many avenues to get there. So what else would you call a profession that sheds innocent blood and calls it a choice? And Dr. Joseph Mercola stated, when someone's words differ from their actions, chances are that their actions are more accurately reflecting their values. Well, you know, God said that too. He said, you'll know them by their fruits in Matthew 7. So let's recap. Massive side effects and interactions from prescription meds, prescription errors, unnecessary surgery, hospital infections and errors, and all the leading causes of death right there. It's no wonder people are seeking other forms of health care, and that they should. It should be your decision and yours alone. So I want you to keep fighting the good fight out there. I know I'm coming up to a break. Poor Frank, he's probably saying, when is she going to take a breath? Well, right now. I'll be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663. Or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Here on Herb Talk Live. Hey, that was Paltrow and Huey Lewis. I thought they sounded good. All right, we're going to wrap up this segment on, you know, our healthcare being doctored, but, you know, you and I are going to be fighting that good fight out there because, you know, we're going to be vigilant because, you know, I wouldn't let anyone tell me what form of medical treatment I had to take. You know, I'm totally going to recoil at the thought of mandated mammograms or colonoscopies or vaccinations. Because I seek to protect the body the Lord gave me by not injecting it with disease and radiating it to death. And that is not my idea of being a good steward of the body. So I prefer to trust in Lord's herbs, which are organic medicines for the body to heal itself. And God wants us to, you know, to use healthy and organic foods and herbs to help us achieve that. He says herbs are here for the service of man, and they're good, they're meat. And there are herbs that will improve digestion by stimulating your pancreas, your liver, and improve your digestive enzymes. There are herbs which help move the blood for better circulation. There are herbs that help move mucus out of the body and help red blood cells hold on to more oxygen. There are herbs to help bone marrow and prevent muscle spasm. There's herbs to help with anxiety and sinusitis. You'd be amazed at what you can do with some powerful herbs and some in a healthy lifestyle. So if more people embrace this truth, they would put heart surgeons on the unemployment line and drug companies into bankruptcy. So I if you want to learn more, I encourage you to give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call, ask for a free product catalog, because they're all about educating you on the herb as well, and so you know what's going on. The number to call is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277. Of course, you can visit them online at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. You can get there typing in Herb Talk Live, too, herbtalklive.com. Oh, and don't forget, Mother's Day coupon is on the homepage. If you don't have internet access, just write this down. It's mom and the number 15. And you'll save 15% on your herb purchases, and it's very low minimum, $10. Your order has to be $10 or more. And you want to hurry because that offer expires on May 11th. So this is, you know, a good time, you know, if you want to pick up your allergy herbs or your organ cleansing herbs or maybe some flea and tick stuff for your pets, you can save 15% now. So do that and be happy, be well, be organic, be toxin free. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's talk about alcohol free tinctures because some people just don't like the alcohol in tinctures, and I get that question a lot. But I did come across an article that, you know, was written by supposedly some naturalists who tend to warn people about the dangers of herbal tinctures that are made with alcohol. And I'm like, what gives with that? So I thought to myself, why would a couple of professionals in the natural field be totally against a standard tincture, an herbal tincture? Tinctures are made with alcohol. A majority of them are. They've been making that way for hundreds of years. Empirical history will show that. So, but I did find out why they were kind of against the herbal tinctures with alcohol. They owned and operated a supplement company that used glycerin to make their products. So they were trying to get people to shy away from the alcohol tinctures and use the glycerin-based ones. And as herbalists are educated all over the world, and especially in one of the oldest natural healing schools in the United States, they'll tell you that the difference, there's a lot of difference in tinctures that are made with alcohol and those that are made with glycerin or even vinegar. So consumers may not know what makes the difference, but there is a big difference. So I thought, well, let's talk about that. And if people don't like alcohol in their tinctures and they have an alcohol-based tincture, can they still use it? Yes. We'll show you how to remove the alcohol in just a minute. So before the modern process of making distilled alcohol, there was really an ancient way that they made things. They used fermenting grains and fruits. And in the 12th century, the distillation process of making alcohol was invented, which, you know, made the alcohol more potent. So today, the average beer is about 5% alcohol. Wine ranges between 12 to 15%. Of course, your liquor can go from 30 to 50% and even higher in some cases. So there is a big difference, though, and it's all about the drawing potential, how you draw the photochemical, the nutrients out of the fiber of the plant and suspend them in the liquid so you do have a medicinal liquid to use. So those who would have you believe that herbal tinctures that are made with alcohol are unhealthy are really not correct, because the human consumption of volume of alcohol is really minuscule. Consuming large quantities of alcohol is probably not going to be good for you, but an adult dose of an herbal tincture that's made with alcohol, an adult dose is about a quarter of a teaspoon, it's going to contain less than 0.5% alcohol by weight. So the average adult dose of a tincture won't have those negative effects that normally people think alcohol will give you. Even if you had cirrhosis of the liver, it's not enough to really inflict any damage. So the average alcohol tincture is actually made with 80-proof vodka, which is basically 50% water. So using 100-proof alcohol in a tincture is kind of overkill unless you're trying to tincture some resinous barks and things and you needed something a bit stronger. Now, some of the misinformation that's circulating on your herbal tinctures on the market, some people say they're made with ethanol, which, you know, is true. But what is incorrect is that ethanol or ethyl ethanol is all denatured alcohol and is really unfit to drink, is what they're telling you. Well, denatured alcohol is intended for fuel and not for consumption, so your tinctures aren't going to be made with that. No experienced herbalist would use a denatured alcohol in their process of making their herbal tinctures because it can modify the plant molecule and it can disrupt the enzyme compound. Also, there are different levels of denatured alcohols, standard denatured, specifically denatured, and completely denatured. But none of these types of alcohol are used in the herb industry to make tinctures. So there was a bit of misinformation to scare you. However, none of these types of alcohols are going to be used, so you don't have to worry. What consumers really need to know is that not all ethanol is, or ethyl ethanol is denatured. In fact, some of it can be pure grain alcohol. Okay. So, herbalists know what to ask for when they're selecting their alcohol out there. Well, there are some who prefer not to have any alcohol in their herbal tincture products. And so they're going to gravitate to the plant glycerin tinctures. That's just a natural thing. So the herbal tinctures made with a catalyst of glycerin will usually be sweeter and won't have the same concentrations of plant alkaloids as an alcohol tincture will. So the supplement market will claim that the glycerin versions have the same potency as the alcohol tinctures, but a simple test shows that they will need to consume more of the glycerin variety to achieve the same benefit. So the absorption of the alcohol tinctures by the body is much faster by the arterial blood supply and is completed in a matter of seconds. So it's a superior delivery system as well. Glycerin tinctures have a 30% slower absorption rate. So the reason is that the alcohol tincture is superior is because it draws out the entire chain of plant photochemicals and is in a higher concentration. Many types of herbs will have alkaloids, which will need alcohol to capture them all, to draw them out. And those who want the potency of alcohol tinctures but not the alcohol can actually take 5 minutes and remove the alcohol from their tincture dose. What they can do is take an ounce of water, which is 2 tablespoons, and they can warm that. Now, don't boil it. The temperature of a baby bottle is what we're shooting for. Just warm the water. Then you add your tincture dose after you've warmed the water. You add it to the water and let it sit 5 minutes. And what happens is the water is warm enough to evaporate off the alcohol, but it doesn't damage the herb. Okay? And then you just drink the water with the herb suspended in it. So that's how you can easily become an alcohol-free tincture but still have the potency of the plant. Now, so, you know, it's really interesting because some herbs have alkaloids that you need to capture, but they'll only be drawn out when they're tinctured in alcohol and vinegar. So sometimes you have to use both catalysts to do that. So that's an interesting thing to keep in mind as well. So it may seem like, you know, some tinctures may say, well, it was tinctured in both alcohol and glycerin, and some people go, well, the best of both worlds. It may seem that way, but the absorption rate is diminished with the glycerin added, okay? So it contains less nutrition, not all the alcohol is removed, and through the processing of that formula, your potency isn't going to be as great. Now, if you want to look at some of the ancient tinctures, well, tincture making has a long history. Glycerin for making tinctures came much later and is generally considered a poor solvent for extracting the nutrition from the plants compared to either vinegar or alcohol. So actually, vinegar can sometimes be much stronger of a solvent or a catalyst at grabbing those photoplant alkaloids than even alcohol is. So when you're comparing the solvent effect of vegetable glycerin and alcohol, according to Deborah St. Clair, who is the author of Herbal Preparations and Natural Therapy, she says the glycerin will extract fewer compounds. So glycerin will extract sugars, diluted enzymes, glycosides, bitter compounds, and diluted saponins and tannins, whereas your alcohol will extract alkaloids, glycosides, volatile oils, waxes, resins, fats, tannins, balsams, sugars, proteins, minerals, and vitamins. Well, there you go. But glycerin tinctures are pretty popular with those who don't want the alcohol. So the alcohol tinctures tend to extend the shelf life of the product by about 10 years, whereas the glycerin product maybe has a 2-year shelf life. So your alcohol tinctures, if they're made properly, if they're processed without heat and they're cold pressed, they're aged for potency, then they're going to be a really strong mix for you to tap into, very potent formula. Now, according to the World Health Organization, too much vegetable glycerin It's called propylene glycol, can create a buildup of lactate in the bloodstream, and it can lead to convulsions, cardiovascular problems like heart attack and coma. So the Cleveland Clinic also reports that people can have sensitivities to sulfates or sulfides in the vegetable glycerin, causing an asthma-like symptom and other allergic reactions. Other reactions can be upset stomach, swelling of the tongue, difficulty breathing, nausea, diarrhea, and it can cause also gastroenteritis. So you want to be careful with your vegetable glycerin. Use it probably sparingly. And you have to wonder because, you know, all these electronic cigarettes, a lot of those flavors that they use for the vapes, they call them, have glycerin in them. And that's very bad for the pulmonary. So so I see herbal tinctures made with alcohol. It's kind of like this Special K commercial where you have 12 bowls of shredded wheat and one bowl of Special K. Special K is more potent, more concentrated, and that's how the alcohol tincture is. So if you're looking for certified organic, naturally aged, cold-pressed alcohol tinctures for potency and effect, then you want to call the folks at Apothecary Herbs, and they can hook you up. They have a full line of products. The number to call if you want a product catalog is 866-229-3663, and of course, if you're outside the U.S., 704-875-0277, or just visit them online at thepowerherbs.com. You can download their catalog there. It's a PDF download if you want to get it right away. Alrighty, so we got a few minutes, and I guess we're going to talk about nervous system, the nervous system disease. There's dozens of them. There's dozens of nervous system. Our brains and our nerves can be under attack from more than one way. All throughout history, health authorities have said that the cause of nervous system issues is unknown. The list of nervous system diseases can include things like Alzheimer's, sclerosis, Bell's palsy, brain cancer, brain tumors, epilepsy, Guillain-Barré syndrome, meningitis, macular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, myasthenia gravis, Parkinson's disease, headaches, and even stroke. Now, something has got to be promoting this avalanche of nervous system breakdowns. So we're going to take a look at some of these and maybe some natural therapies that will help us out. First, I want to talk about Guillain-Barré. It's a disease that usually affects 1 in 100,000 people. Experts in and outside of the health industry, you know, tend to say that the increase in the number of cases is maybe due to vaccinations. I don't know. The UK is already tracking these cases, and more healthcare workers are tracing the disease to the flu vaccines, the annual flu vaccine. So be aware of that. Of course, health authorities and governments will want more data before any changes are made, and that means that the annual flu vaccine can come and go, and the vaccinations will continue, and so will the risk. So why should every sound-minded person be concerned? Well, this disease is pretty serious, and it's very sudden and unexpected on its onset. So you can wake up in the morning and feel perfectly fine, and by lunch you can experience paralysis and have difficulty breathing. So this disease is a medical emergency, of course, and you don't want this to hit you at all. The most anyone can hope for in allopathic medicine and treating this after the onset is a partial recovery. So these diseases don't care what age or sex you are. And it basically occurs after there's a viral infection, and that usually is from vaccinations. So this disease does not care, you know, if you're rich or poor, if you're eating organic or not. It's all in the bile, the shot. So medical texts have listed that pregnancy, surgery, and vaccinations are triggers for this disease. And according to science, the body's immune system tends to be the scapegoat. initial treatment will be to stabilize the patient through the use of respirators, heart machines, and other monitoring equipment. They'll also use blood purification procedures, plasma to remove the blood and treat it for maybe an autoimmune disease situation. Plasma is made of water, salt, and proteins, and it makes up half of your blood. So they may use immunoglobulin therapy, and they'll tinker around with that white blood cell a little bit. And then the side effects of that treatment could be more infection, fluid in your lungs, kidney damage, blood clots, and more allergic reactions. So be aware of that. See, some people don't realize that the blood is really an organ. There's real cells and tissue in your blood. Okay, it's not all just liquid. And when you get a transfusion, it's really technically an organ transplant. All right, so I've never actually seen a drug that can cure the nervous system breakdown like this. One of my herb professors once said, it is similar to believing that a gasoline additive can fix a worn-out motor in your car. It's not going to happen. So if you have any of these nervous system diseases, you're going to probably need some real intensive natural therapy, so you might want to research that. You'll probably need a combination of things. You'll want to do some juicing with your vegetable and fruit juices, get those live enzymes going, maybe some hydrotherapy to help stimulate nerve endings, and also body massage. Organ cleansing is always great, especially all the way to the blood system to clear the vaccine out. And also you might want to do even a cold sheet treatment to fast-track toxin removal. You just want to do your homework on that before you do any of it. So before the medical textbooks labeled these nervous system diseases, they were called immune abnormalities. So natural healers already actually approached their recovery of these diseases through balancing the immune system. So even though medicine is treating these diseases via immune system cells in the blood, they are undermining the process. So the immune system is under attack and in turn attacks the body. See how that works? And it all starts with a vaccination, see? And that's an artificial infection right into the blood system. And it bypasses your natural immune system response and actually throws your immune system into shock almost. So that's what you have to be aware of. And balance is important. And there's a delicate balance. It's almost like an orchestra. And all the musical instruments are playing right on time, their part in the orchestra. So your organs communicate with each other chemically, and you got hormones, and you got electrical impulses, you got all this thing, and it's synchronized. And when you throw in a vaccine directly in the blood system, you're just, you know, you're throwing a tuber player in there, blowing his horn off key. Does that make sense? Maybe not. I don't know. But don't make the mistake of allowing them to infect you with disease, and that's what a vaccine is, in my opinion. And I say no to vaccines. I say no to mandated any vaccine, whether it's for adults or children. Your immune system is sophisticated just the way God made it, okay? And so don't let anybody do your homework on vaccines. That's the whole message here. I know I'm out of time, but there's more health information that can come into your email if you'd like each and every week. The folks at Apothecary Herbs have a couple of newsletters that are absolutely free. One goes out on Tuesday and one goes out on Friday. So you can have great information all week long and then have some great information for the weekend. So if you want to sign up for the Health Quest newsletter, that will be going out tomorrow. And if you want the American Survival newsletter, that goes out on Tuesday. So you go to the powerherbs.com website and click on books and newsletters, and you can sign up for free. Just add them to a shopping cart and check out, and you will not be charged for those. And you have to have email. We do not have these in hard copy, so sorry about that. But you can receive them in email. Also, we do have radio show archives on the website, so if you miss Herb Talk Live, you can go back and listen either on American Voice Radio or on Herb on the powerherbs.com website. So there, just click on Herb Talk Archives and you'll get there. I'm out of time. Look at that. The song is playing. All right. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease, so seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.